I saw a beautiful Dvar Torah this week from Rav Benjamin Yudin. So for those of you who don't know, Rav Benjamin Yudin was a Rav of a shul in Fairlawn, New Jersey, called Shomrei Torah, for about 50 years. I think 2 years ago they had a dinner for him, honoring him for 50 years of being the Rav of the shul there. And he's a tzaddik like anybody else I've ever met before. He's one of the most sensitive human beings I've ever encountered. And I saw he has a Dvar Torah in this week's Parsha about sensitivity, and I figured if he's talking about sensitivity, it's as if, I don't know, Warren Buffett is talking about investing or Roger Federer is talking about tennis. I feel like we have to listen to his words. So he says the following. In this week's Parsha, in Perek Chaf Beis, we learn about the Isser to not have two different types of animals plow the field together. The Pasuk says in Perek Chaf Beis, Pasuk Yud, Lo sacharosh b'shor u'bachamor yachdav. Do not plow your field with an ox and a donkey together. Now, the Torah doesn't really give a reason. That's the end. The next pasuk gets into shatnez of clothing. But the Sefer Achinuch in Mitzvah Tavkof Nun 550 gives two different reasons for this mitzvah. The first is based on the Rambam, who says the Isser for them to plow the field together is really based on the Isser for them to mate with one another. We're not allowed to have animals mate, crossbreed, and because of that, we don't want these animals working too close together because that could lead to them meeting. In addition to that, I think the Ibn Ezra says this as well. The Sefer Achinuch says that it could be an issue of Tsar Balei Chayim. You have one animal that's much stronger, the bull is stronger than the donkey, and it's going to be plowing quicker, and because they're going to be going at different speeds, so it's going to be painful for the donkey. And because of that, we want to make sure that there's no Tsar Balei Chayim. We want to make sure that these two animals aren't going to plow their fields together. In addition to that, the Das Zakenim in the back of the Mikros Gedolos Chumash points out, and others point this out as well, that the Torah is really concerned about the sensitivity, or really the feelings of the donkey. Why? Because both animals are going to be given their portions of food. But the difference between the donkey and the ox is that an ox, being a kosher animal, chews its cud. So what's going to happen? The donkey is going to eat its food, and the ox is going to eat its food. And then a few minutes later, whatever it is, I don't really know how long it takes to chew cud, but let's just say it's a couple minutes later, fine. The donkey is going to see the ox chewing. And he's going to think, well, what happened here? The ox got extra food. He's been given more. And it's going to cause a level of distress, a psychological distress for that donkey. And because of that, the Torah has this sensitivity towards the donkey and says we should never allow donkeys and oxen to plow together. Says the Sefer Achinuch, though, that if it's true about animals, so it's true about people as well. He writes, V'kol chacham lev mizeh yikach musar. Every single person has to learn a little bit of Musar from this. Shelo limnos shnei anashim la'olam bedavar mikol hadvarim shiyu rechokim betivam umeshonim behanhagasam kemo tzadik v'rasha. We shouldn't put people who are very, very different from one another to work together. We have to be sensitive to the feelings of one another, and because of that, we have to make sure people are put in proper groups. We have to make sure people are going to be put into situations in which they'll feel comfortable. And Rabbi Yudin says that we have to really think about this on a much broader level, to think about the sensitivities of those around us. And he goes on to give five examples in halacha that show just how in tune Chazal and really the Torah were to our sensitivities. He says the following. The first example is with all the agricultural mitzvos that we have, leket, shikcha, and peah. Leket, when you gather your crops, you harvest all your stuff, whatever falls out of your arms while you're harvesting, so that has to remain in the field. Shikcha, that if you forget to harvest certain stalks, certain produce, you have to leave it in the fields. And pay, of course, is leaving that corner, the edge of the field, must remain unharvested for the poor people. But while they belong to the poor, rather than collecting them and having the poor people come to our homes and have them knock on the door and having us give it to them, rather they work for it themselves. And Rabbi Yudin explains that this affords them dignity and this feeling of satisfaction and enjoying the fruits of their labors. They feel like they're a baal davar. They did something to provide for themselves. And again, this is a tremendous sensitivity to the poor. We also know that that's true with regards to lending money to someone who's in need, someone who's in a vulnerable situation. They need money. So it's a mitzvah to lend money, and they have to pay back, of course. But we also know you're not supposed to. The lender is not allowed to go out and aggressively collect his money. He can't tell the person, he can't consistently remind him. He has to be sensitive to that person. And the Gemara in Bava Metzia tells us that this even means that if a person is going to go on a walk on Shabbos afternoon, let's say, it's a nice day, he wants to go for a walk, So you can go on any street you want. You go any direction except for that street where the borrower lives. You're not allowed to walk down his block. And the reason being that the borrower is going to think that the reason you're passing by his house is to kind of remind him, make sure that he knows about his loan and that he has to pay it back. So because of that, we don't want this person to feel at any sense of unease, and we have to be sensitive to his state of vulnerability. He wasn't able to have the money that he needed by himself. He needed to go out and ask someone else for a loan, and we have to be sensitive to that. Another one, so that's number two. So far we have the agricultural mitzvahs of Lekach Chichampeya, and we have lending money. A third example Rabbi Yudin brings is Chazar Sashas, the repetition of Shemona Esrei. We know the Gemara tells us that Anshei Knesset HaGdola enacted the Chazar Sashats for people who were ignorant or unlearned. They didn't know how to properly daven Shemona Esrei on their own. Now, Bizman Hazeh, when many, many of us know how to daven Shemona Esrei, if you're in a school, you're in a yeshiva, you're in shul, whatever it may be, why isn't it that once we see everyone's finished Shemona Esrei, why don't we just turn around and look around and say, like, hey, who didn't daven yet? Why don't we do that? So, it's pretty clear. We don't want to embarrass anybody. We don't want to publicly humiliate anybody by asking, oh, who didn't daven, who doesn't know how to daven? So again, we demonstrate the sensitivity by just always saying a Chazar Sashatz. A fourth example Rabbi Yudin mentioned was from Tanakh. We know Penina, who is Chana's co-wife, constantly would mention, she would speak of her children around Chana in her presence, and it was all done l'shem shemayim. She was trying to encourage Chana to daven more and more and more, and she's really totally good intentions, pure motives. She just wanted Chana to daven for her children, but still the Gemara says that Penina was punished for her insensitivity. And Rabbi Yudin, of course, tells us that we have to be careful with how we speak in front of people. We have to be aware and sensitive to their situations and whatever struggles they might be experiencing. If a person is struggling with infertility, don't be talking about children at the Shabbos table. If someone is struggling financially, don't talk about a new job, a new investment. If someone, Rahman al-Islam, just lost a parent, don't be talking about your mother all the time. You know, there's certain things that we have to do. We have to recognize where people are holding and what they're going through and be sensitive to all of that. And lastly is the mitzvah of tzedakah. We know the Rambam tells us that there are 8 different levels of tzedakah, but the greatest level of tzedakah is the hechazak debo, meaning to help a person, be mechazik a person to the extent that he can, you give him a job and now he has a sense of independence and self-worth and dignity that he can stand up on his own 2 feet, the hechazak debo. Again, totally take him out from the category of being a taker. Now he has the ability to be a giver. And this is one of the highest level, this is the highest level of tzedakah. But again, even if one can't do that 8th level of tzedakah, all the other levels of tzedakah, it needs to be done in a way where you're mechazik the person, that you're speaking words of encouragement, that you're being mechazik him, you're making sure that he doesn't feel terrible. And whatever level of tzedakah we're giving, we have to make sure that the words of chizik are there as well. Again, that all is it's all about the sensitivity that we're supposed to have to our fellow Jew. Rabbi Yudin just closes, and this is the following. He says, as we head towards Rosh Hashanah, and we're in Elul already, we're in the Tshuva season, we're marching towards Rosh Hashanah, so the way to be properly Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we accept the Kadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus on Rosh Hashanah, the only way you can do that is, as we know, in Melech below Am. We have to make sure that we're an Am together, that we're with each other, right? V'hi b'shur in Melech, but it's only when Klal Yisrael gathers together as an Am. And we have to make sure that we have the proper sensitivity so that we can have the strongest relationships Bein Adam L'Chaveru, in order that we can properly be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chidush Yerim ends, just to make one note at the end, Chidush Yerim, the Ger Rebbe tells us that at the end of this week's parsha we learn about the mitzvah to never forget Amalek. We have to remember Amalek. So the Lashon of the Pasuk, 1 second, the Lashon of the Pasuk, Zechor, Isa Asher Asal Lecha Amalek. I should know that because it's one of the things we're supposed to remember every day after davening. Check out after the Animamins, we have the Sheish Zechiros. Zechor, Isa Asher Asal Lecha Amalek. The Chidush Yerim tells us that Amalek tries to get us with the Lecha. Meaning, Amalek's strength comes from picking out individuals. The Yetzer Hara, that foreign Amalek feeling that we have, is to make us feel distant from all other Jews. That we're separate from the pack, that we're not part of the Klal. And in order to properly fight Amalek, and not just to fight Amalek, but in order to properly be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch, we have to make sure that we have that heightened sense of Achdus, that we have that sense of togetherness. And one of the keys to that is this sensitivity that Rabbi Yudin has been teaching.